on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts of human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, while meek souls will receive him, still your cry enters in. Excuse me there. Fourth verse. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Thank you.
Sir? I said, can't you sing another verse?
Well, my Bible
wouldn't
let me.
I know. I needed one more time around. All right, hopefully at home you have your prayer list in hand. I don't have a pen here to write these down with, if you give me any. So I'll just go back and make sure I get all those down from later. So if you have your prayer list, maybe you got one from the front here. If we had any of those left over, there's some over here on the side if you didn't get one. We have a few here that I do want to give some updates on. Carolyn and S.W. Stone, just want to keep her in your prayers, especially Miss Carolyn. She is still at Harton. Steve messaged me earlier this afternoon. They're still running tests and monitoring her progress, and he was headed there this afternoon. So keep him in your prayers. His dad is still needing 24/7 care too at home, so keep him in your prayers as they're having to split time between their mom and dad there in taking care of both of them. We've also got Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Bill Warren, Amy Jackson. She had several pre-op things done today. They're fixing to do the biopsy on her lung, and so keep her in your prayers that everything will come back good from that. George Duncan, I don't have an update on him, but he was supposed to go to the doctors today about his cancer treatments to determine what they're going to do with that. But he is out of the hospital from the heart issues he was having. He had another stent put in this last time he was in. I think I was told that's his 13th that he's had. And so that's unreal that he's had that many. So do keep him in your prayers. I remember Ken Tatum, Diane Tatum, Gordon Jackson, Tommy Griffin, and Cindy Ingram. Any others that we need to add to the Highland Baptist Church family side there? All right, on our friends and family, we have the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel, the Meredith family, who are our missionaries in Moldova, Katie Jo Bailey, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson, Ryan Bond, Kay Goff, Crystal Schroyer, Barbara Prince, Mary Leibig. This is Linda Smith's mother. They've moved her here, and so she's staying with Linda and them. And so keep her in your prayers. Keep the family in your prayers as they alternate out some, too, in sitting with her. I remember Miss Virginia Counts, Jimmy Hasty, our music search committee, Jack Young, Phil Jones, Rhonda Morris, Greg Pitts, John Robertson. I had a line crossed through him because we said we would remove him this week. He's doing much better. But remember Teresa Pitts, Valerie Walladin, Karen Gaynor, Robin Stone, and the baby there. The baby was improving. The last that I heard, they were still trying to get the baby to gain some weight and trying to get it to eat more. And so just keep praying that everything continues to go well there. Pray for Lincoln Hastings, Bill Flynn, Peggy Doyle, Mickey and Tawana Miller, and the Yates family. And I've not heard an update from Chesley on them. And then also Brian Tate asked us to add his friend Kanan Klang to the prayer list. So that's Kanan Klang to the prayer list to remember his friend in your prayers. Any others that we need to add tonight? Okay. All right. Thank you. So for those listening online, that's Greg and Teresa Pitts, that they're doing better and can be removed from the list. Okay, that's Gayla Everett. She had been in the hospital, right? Yeah, and so they changed her medicine some, but she's back home now. So just pray that she continues to improve. Also, that's Gayla Everett. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, and what's her name?
Vanessa
Cleek. So remember, Vanessa Cleek has to have a spot of cancer cut off her leg. So keep her in your prayers. Anybody else? All right. I don't hear anybody else. Don't see anybody else. On our nursing home list, we have Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Beverly Daniels at Life Care in Lynchburg, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home over in Manchester, Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and then Beth Kidd at NHC Rehab. And I think she fell a few weeks ago at the rehab there, so keep her in your prayers. Which meant she'd be there a little while longer. Okay, I don't see any others there. Do you see any on the social media, on Facebook? Okay, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer then for these and maybe others that you have on your hearts. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, and thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for being with us tonight. Father, I pray that your spirit will move in a powerful way. Lord, I pray that you will draw us closer to you than ever before. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here or anyone watching online who doesn't know Christ as their Lord and their Savior, may you speak your truth into their hearts to come to the place of salvation. But Lord, we thank you for those who have made decisions recently. And Lord, we expect and look forward to their upcoming baptisms. Father, we pray that you would bless them in a special way. Lord, we want to come before you and ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We are unworthy, Lord, of your grace and your mercy, but we know, Lord, that you are the only one who can cleanse us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we cry out to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, for you to wash us, to cleanse us, to renew us, Lord, to transform and change us from the inside out, Lord, changing our hearts, changing our minds, changing our lives to be more like Christ and less like us. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for where we have failed you. Lord, we want you to hear our prayers tonight, and we just come before you, Lord, asking those things, that you would hear, Lord, our prayers on behalf of each person that we mentioned tonight, the updates that we've given also, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, for your will to be done in each person's heart and each person's life. Lord, we pray that you would be with the people who are on our Highland Baptist Church family list. Lord, we pray that as many of these are our physical needs, we pray, God, for you to divinely intervene in their hearts and their lives to bring the healing that they need. Lord, be with them to, even in the midst of adversity and suffering that they may be going through, to be a witness to the people around them, those who are doctors and nurses and caregivers and family members who may not know Christ, that they will see Christ in their loved ones that we're praying for here. And Father, for those who have upcoming procedures, we pray, God, that you will just give them peace in their hearts that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray that you would guide the doctors and surgeons who will be doing those procedures to know the proper things that they need to do to be able to see all that you would have them to see, to remove remove, if it's cancer, to remove cancer, to see blockages, if there's blockages for heart issues or whatever the situations might be. We uplift them all to you, Lord, and we thank you for being with those and giving wisdom and discernment to doctors and nurses, for helping those, Lord, who have been in the hospitals recently. But Father, we pray that as you are the great physician, may you uplift them, may you wrap your loving arms around them, may you let them know that you are with them, Father, that you would give them strength one moment at a time, one day at a time, to keep pressing forward. We pray for all of our friends and family, as well as those in the nursing homes. Father, we pray for you to just encourage their hearts. For those, Lord, who may not know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, use these times that they're going through to point them to the only hope for their lives, not just physically, but especially spiritually, of saving their souls from sin and from hell. Father, I pray that you would use us as whatever way that we could be a witness in their hearts and in their lives to encourage them, Lord, to a faith in Christ, and for those who are Christians to walk alongside them and encourage them to remain faithful to you and to be the witness you would have them to be. So Lord, we pray that you will give them encouragement, give them comfort, and Father, we just pray for your will to be done. Be with our Awana kids tonight and all of our Awana workers. Lord, we just pray that they will continue to learn your word and continue to grow in their walk with you. Be with our youth, and Lord, we just pray that you will give them a passion for your truth and a hunger to know you more fully. We know, Lord, they deal with all kinds of struggles in their hearts and their lives, and so Father, as they're walking about living their life for you and facing those temptations and many times struggling with things they see their friends doing, Father, I pray that you will give them guidance in their hearts, draw them always back to your word, and Father, I pray that you will help them to be a witness to their friends, to stand on the truth of your word, and Father, I pray that you will help them to be all that you would have them to be. Be with our youth workers, be with Pastor Matt and others. And we just ask a special blessing upon each one of them, too, as they're teaching these youth tonight. And Lord, be with us as we come to study once again the book of Jeremiah. Lord, may we see your truth here that would apply to our hearts and our lives from this Old Testament passage. Help us, Lord, to see, to know, and to experience this Old Testament passage as it truly is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Use it, Lord, in our hearts and our lives to strengthen us, to embolden us as believers, Lord, to grow in our walk with you, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, as well as producing fruit of souls being saved. And Father, I just pray for your will to be done as we study your word tonight, especially for those who are maybe watching online. Bless them in a special way tonight, too, through this. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, and verse 1 down through verse 31. I don't have everything that I'm going to be speaking about on the screen, but and I didn't have time to reformat the verses that you'll see on the screen. Those are usually I reformat those because it kind of breaks the verses up sometimes, and one word will be left hanging on a second slide. So I usually try to put all that and correct that, but I didn't have time to do that this afternoon and getting ready for tonight. We're working on our Christmas program with our choir, and we're trying to get our books finished and printed and ready and bound, and we were not able to get that. We had one song left that would not print for whatever reason, and so we'll fix that tomorrow, but that took up a lot of our time in getting those things ready, and that's why we struggled at the beginning there with our online broadcast. So chapter 5, verse 1 down through verse 10 is what we're going to look at. You know, one of the greatest tragedies of human history is the tragedy of war. You know, if we could see what war, and some of you maybe have, if we could see what war really looks like, if we could stand on for just 5 minutes on a battlefield and hear the cries and see the destruction and walk amongst the wounded, our hearts would never celebrate the loss of life again. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to remember something here that the world easily forgets. And that's that every soldier, every nation, every person, whether they're our friend or our enemy, is made in the image of God. And we may rejoice sometimes when a season of conflict comes to an end, but we are never to rejoice at the destruction of those for whom Christ died. And so today I want to shift you in this passage here from wars between nations to another battleground, if you will. The battleground of the human heart, the battleground of the church and of our lives as believers. Because as we're going to work our way down to verse 10, God is going to be speaking here of a siege, an attack, if you will, a siege one he himself orders, and he gives this command to go up through her vines and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. We're going to read that in a moment in verse 10. And so God is going to give us some instructions here. So let's look at what he's saying to Jerusalem, to the people of Israel, in verse 1 down through verse 10. So he tells Jeremiah here, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. That's almost reminiscent to me of Sodom when Abraham says, well, Lord, what if I could find 10? If I could just find 10, would you spare them judgment? God says, yes, if you can find 10. Here he says, if you can just find one in Jerusalem so that I can pardon her. He says in verse 2, though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. Then I said, there are only the poor. They have no sense, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. I will go to the great and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. But they all alike had broken the yoke. They had burst the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall strike them down. A wolf from the desert shall devastate them. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out of them shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their apostasies are great. How can I pardon you? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by those who are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped to the houses of whores. They were well fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself of a nation such as this? And then he says this in verse 10. Go up through her vine rows and destroy, but make not a full end, strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. When you read these verses here, it is also almost reminiscent to me, at least speaks to me, of what we're looking at in the book of Romans in chapter 1, especially at that end part there, of people turning away, neglecting, exchanging the glory of God for the things of this world. And there comes that place, that time, as we've read there in Romans chapter 1, where God says, okay, you keep demanding, you want your way, and you will not listen to me, and you will not follow me, so go your way. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to see that all that you've been chasing after is empty, and it's going to be destruction for your lives. And that's essentially what he's saying here to the people. He's telling them, you've committed adultery. You're well-fed, lusty stallions. You're going your own way. And so he says, what I want you to do is go up through her vine rows and destroy, but don't execute a complete destruction. Strip away her branches, because they are not the Lord's. What God is saying to the people there, and what he's saying to us sometimes, is that there are some things that my people have built for protection. And he says, I didn't build those things. I want them torn down because they're not things that are bringing glory to me. And God still speaks that word today. So the first thing I want you to see are the battlements of verse 10 here. Now, what are battlements? Battlements are, if you were to look at castle walls or fortifications, those are those notched, tooth-like tops of castle walls or fortifications that feature alternating solid parts and gaps that are in between. All those things allowed the defenders to shoot their arrows or to shoot their weapons from a place of cover. Originally, they were for defense, and they protected soldiers by providing shelter while allowing them to attack. And so that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, I want you to go up through their vines, through their vineyards, and I want you to pull down and destroy all of these things that they are trusting in for their protection. Instead of trusting in me, they're trusting in these other things. And so God speaks, first of all, I won't have all of this on the screen for you tonight, but you can. I'll try to go slow with the points here. God speaks this word to his church. That's the first thing I want you to see about these battlements, that God speaks his word, this word, to his church. Throughout history, even the church has built battlements, if you will, or defensive walls that God never asked for. And when we build man-made structures to feel strong or to feel secure, God lovingly and firmly removes them, because he alone is to be our defense. He alone is to be our wall of fire. He alone is to be our refuge and our fortress. Throughout church history, even those who profess to be Christians have placed their trust in other things. You think about this. Some churches begin trusting in political or governmental power. They look to worldly rulers for strength, for protection. But whenever the church has done that, the church has paid a high spiritual price. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And yet so often we